Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday to you all. It's not 3:30. It's early in the morning here in Southwest Florida. If you, that's the Irish way of pronouncing the 3:30. I think I'll meet you. I think I'll meet you about 3:30.
What if you were 1 minute after 2:39?
2:39.
Yeah, but two, after that.
So 2:40.
Yes.
2:40 would be the thing. Happy Thursday! It's the Mike O'Mara Show. We're going to begin today. So much on the show. So much to cover, but we're going to take a look back. We're going to take a trip down. Rob and I always like to reflect on our past and take trips down memory lane, but we're actually going to bring someone in from the past 28 years ago, to be exact.
That scares the hell out of me. It really does.
One of the cool things that I've had in my career over the years is that back in the day of doing a radio show at a radio station, we had lots of interns.
Everywhere.
Back when they were free. Mm-hmm. Interns would come in. And even the podcast, when we started and we were all under the same roof, we would bring interns in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole thing about interns being paid.
Well, they got into that whole, I mean, even if you're just paying them college credit,
yeah,
that was sort of on the edge for a while, but we did all the paperwork. But now, I mean, Robert's internship with Monumental Sports pays more than I get per hour.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's a real thing now. You got to pay your interns, and we just don't have it in the budget. So.
And so we just don't do it like we used to. And even if we did do it, the question would be, where do they go? We got a guy in the Outer Banks. We got a guy in Leesburg, Virginia. We got a guy in Southwest Florida. I mean, it's just not the same.
They definitely go to your house, Mike. Right. They would have to go to your house.
They'd be vacuuming, cleaning up, feeding the snake.
Yeah, moving pipe, the snake.
Pipe and drape.
Maybe get somebody from Florida Gulf Coast University to pop over here, you know. Yeah, get a marine biology student. But but I digress because before we bring him in, let me give you the bio of our next guest. His name and longtime listeners of the Don and Mike Show may have a memory of this kid, and I call him a kid. He's a grown adult now. Nick Cho.
Carrie remembered him right away when I
did
up
too.
The name.
Yeah. I did too. Nick was an intern on the old Don and Mike Show. He is a video creator with, are you ready for this? 3 million TikTok followers. 389,000 Instagram followers and 250,000 people follow him on YouTube. He is known in these venues as your Korean dad. So we're going to hear about him being a father. He's a father. Yeah. Most importantly, though. Yeah, right. Most importantly. Back all the way in 1996, he was the first Korean intern on the Don and Mike Show.
Did you put
that in there, the first Korean?
No, that's on his webpage.
Of course
I put it in there.
That was 28 years ago. Here are some Rob Spiewak fun Nick facts. Rob hired him to be, or screened him to be.
Yeah,
an
I was. It was one of my bouts at producing the show when he came aboard.
By the way, I will get the dinger out for this. This will now be referred to as my borderline racist ding.
Okay.
All right.
Understood.
Rob's fun fact. His name was Nick Cho, C-H-O, but we called him Nick Joe.
Borderline.
Hello, Joe. He was hired for his internship by, remember, I'll hit the dinger with everything borderline racist.
Okay.
He was hired for his internship by Rob Spiewak.
Now, how is that?
Just let me move on. He hated stand-up comedian Margaret Cho. That's interesting.
This weird. That is one thing that stuck with me mentally all these years.
And I wonder if that has changed at all.
We can ask.
One changes with age. He appeared in our home video release. God, Sex Pies and Videotape. On the tape, he was clothed but wore a samurai outfit and wig.
Not my doing.
That might be past the bell. That might be borderline. That might be buzzard territory.
Thank you. While at the nudist colony, he planted his face in a huge nudism cake. What's a nudism cake?
They made a cake to welcome us to, was it Whitetail Resort? And it was a huge sheet cake that said, "Welcome, Don and Mike Show." And then there were made in icing nude figures on the cake.
At least one of his intern stunts involved screaming, "You go now, no trouble."
I wish I had more details on that.
I know what it is. There's a scene in the movie Falling Down.
No, I know that. I just can't remember what the stunt was that we had him yell.
Who knows? He credits his time with the show as an influence in his comedy and showbiz sensibilities, and Rob remembers him fondly, as do I. He now lives in San Francisco, and he's a coffee expert. We're going to talk more about that. And he's been known around the world as your Korean dad. Let's bring him in right now. Nick Cho, all the way from California, getting up super early for us this morning.
Thank you, Nick.
How are you? Welcome. I give you a round of applause. I love it when our former interns go on to stay in, you know, somewhat in the business of show. And and you're obviously online with an amazing presence. And,
you know, Mike, go ahead. I was going to step out, but I noticed he changed his set a little bit. He's got his little YouTube plaque back there kind of bragging on those 4 million followers.
Oh, I see.
Could you bring something forward that we'll never see on this show? Could you show us your plaque?
This
is
what
you get on YouTube. What do you get, Nick? What do you get this for? Wait, you get this for?
I think it says it right here, 100,000.
100,000.
Oh, but so you got that a long time.
Josh Soroka every day is striving to make sure we're going to get one of those plaques.
Yeah,
that's what he's going to do.
You know, Mike, I'm thinking I can't think of another intern that stayed in quote unquote show business for your show.
Yo, John Brinkus.
Well, yeah, kind of, but that.
What do you mean, kind of? Brinkus was a, and then the other guy that was the producer.
But if
the other kid.
Okay, those predate me. I'm talking about sort of like the afternoon version of the show Forward.
Okay, all right.
I think it's been a while. So I mean, it's pretty cool that he is
28 years. Nick, welcome. How are you? A long time no chat.
We should do this again in 28 years.
Oh, for sure. It's funny. I was thinking about not just the time on the show as an intern, which we can talk about a lot, but at the same time, the time since then. I remember after I left the show, every so often I would call in again.
Yeah.
And I would have, at the time, like, there was just this thing in my head, like, is it okay to call now? Is it been too soon? Like, I was always kind of like really nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And even as I was kind of growing into my adulthood and my confidence, there was something about calling into you guys. I would like revert back into my, like, I guess, how old was I in 96? I would have been like 23 years old.
Wow.
And,
I do remember though, if we're being accurate, when you talk about confidence, I remember, you brought much more to the table than a lot of interns.
Yes.
You had comedy sensibilities even back then.
Mm-hmm.
I think that at least that's what I remember. You got the joke is mm-hmm. what I remember. Do you feel the same way about your experience then?
Almost definitely. I mean, it kind of goes into a weird place, but you know, sometimes I think about this as like an immigrant experience, right? It's like you gotta come into a space, sort of know, like, you know, look around, know what's going on. And sometimes when we talk about these things, it's like white people don't have to look around and like figure out what's going on.
Absolutely,
like, oh yeah,
100%.
Like, we own this town kind of thing.
Right.
But for me, I mean, I was a listener. I remember waking up. It was seventh grade when it was a WAVA morning show, and mm-hmm. I think it was you guys' first show.
Okay.
And I just happened to turn the radio on. I even have a memory, like a physical memory of.
You know what? The years check out on that. That is right. You would have been in seventh grade because I was a freshman in high school.
Wow.
So it makes sense.
That's
wow.
Right. You, Langley High School. You went to Madison, right?
Right.
Remember?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Where did you live when you were DC? Where did you live around here?
I grew up in McLean.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Very
good. Because Langley High School. Because
you know, it's interesting when you give that perspective on how the world has changed. Maybe. I look around and I just.
It's fluid, Mike.
I'm not going to go down that road today, but I will tell you that when you talk about, coming into that environment and how your experience with it. Because we did, I remember we did a lot of Asian shtick, if not exclusively Asian shtick. And as I said, you rolled with it. And it was just, what was that? Because I'd love to get your perspective on how you really felt back then about it. Because I don't think I think we've become more aware to a degree. Some people have. And I look back on that and I kind of cringe when I think of, I cringe with a lot of stuff from the old show. But it's interesting. We had some fun. It was innocent fun. It was not anything that we were trying to do anything wrong. We just didn't know any better. But what was your experience like? Tell us about your experience when you were an intern on the show.
I mean, first of all, Mike, the fact that you're asking the question that way, like, I think that it's worth taking note that it says a lot about you, and there's no defensiveness in your question, right? Like, you're open to hearing kind of what the experience was. This is very relevant in the comedy world, like the whole idea of, like, you know, with a joke from 30 years ago, is it okay? Is it wrong? Like, how do we treat that sort of stuff?
Exactly.
And the honest truth is that it did, a lot of the joking felt like it was at my expense.
Okay.
There was a pang that was there of a little bit of like, ooh, like a little wincing, you know?
Right.
At the same time, I'm like, this is what I signed up for.
Yeah.
You know, I knew what I was getting myself into.
Right.
And the thing that I feel like when people talk about subjects like this, you know, at this point in time and the sort of political and social, you know, awareness that, and I think awareness is a great word for you to bring up, you know, the way that we think about these things.
Right.
It's sort of like that, that perspective. I don't hear people talk about that a lot. That idea of like being around back then, I get to go to movie premieres from time to time, you know, in the LA area.
Look at
and
you.
I saw that guy, Gede Watanabe.
Yeah.
From, he was
16 Candles.
Long 16 Candles. And when I saw him, you know, it was sort of what I'm talking about. Like, I know enough about him to know, you know, he's spoken up about that character that he played. He knew that it was sort of like problematic and that it was going to be fueling a lot of like sort of like teasing and Asian sort of like, you know, mockery and stuff like that at the time.
Right.
But at the same time, he's like, it was a gig, you know, this was a job. Like, I wasn't getting other jobs. Like, this was a job. I needed it. And so, you know, you can hold multiple things at the same time. You can feel, you know, I reached out to you guys about coming on today.
Yeah.
Not because I had any bad feelings, but only warm feelings.
Right.
But the fact is that it's complicated. It can be complicated. It can be a lot of things that you're feeling at the same time.
Absolutely. And the way I look at that now is, you know, I live in both worlds, my political sensibilities and my personal sensibilities about the way we treat our fellow man and the comedy world. And that is a tremendously difficult line to walk. It really is, because part of me says, one of the things I say all the time, I don't mind any joke if it's a joke. If it's a joke, I think that, but that at the same time, when you articulate the way you felt, that makes complete sense to me. And, you know, I look back on that and I say to myself, I wonder one thing, because I don't remember how you were treated outside of the microphones being on. I remember liking you, and it comes back to me liking you a whole lot. And but, you know, in the go-go 90s, when we were at the pinnacle right then, I always like to look back and say, how were you treated on the show when, you know, we were just hanging out?
You were always super nice to me, Mike. I always felt a lot of warmth from you. You know, Rob as well, especially we were like a little bit closer in age and everything. I was thinking about that time, and I don't know if you remember, Mike, you had a little golf, little chipping thing. outside the studio, and then you would come out and chips from time to time.
Yeah, I remember that. And it got more elaborate as years went on.
Things never changed.
But it started as just a putter.
It was, when he says it's a little chipping thing, I was literally going out working on my golf game in between breaks.
You know?
You were, and then every so often, like, I got the courage to start kind of doing it myself, and then I got caught by you, and you're like, no, you're all good, keep going. And then that turned into, you know, you mentioned before about I was an unpaid intern.
Yeah.
This is 1996.
Mm-hmm.
I remember fast forward a few months and we're playing for money.
You and me were playing for money.
And you're and it went from 20 at some point, I think it got to $100. And I'm sitting there and I lost to you. You always won. I think I maybe won one time. And I'm thinking to myself,
I remember you now. You're making me laugh right now the way you used to make me laugh. I remember
I'm not making any money.
But to be fair, it was before Mike's divorce, too. So, I mean, I'm not sure that would happen.
Nick, there's the show historian right there.
Nick, can I ask you an intern-to-intern question? Because you mentioned we are, you know, not that far apart in age.
When I started, I was billed as the new Rob A.
Yep. Yeah. And now it all comes back to me because
They tried that a lot.
But then Nick got the joke.
He did.
Yeah,
he did.
Absolutely.
But I remember so clearly going in, and this was the afternoon days in Fairfax, how daunting it was just to cross the threshold of that radio station building. Because I had never really spent any time in a broadcast facility. And I think also, not to give myself credit, just to give myself shame, I was the poster boy for intern abuse for a while.
Yes.
I mean, I got it a lot to prove myself. But
and
also,
by the way, our show, certainly not exclusive with that. That
no,
was every morning
not.
Show.
Yeah.
You know, all the hot talk, all the guy talk. They had people like that. And we did it to tons of interns. It was, you know, it was
but
everywhere.
When you talk about getting the joke, for me, taking on all those things with a smile on my face was to prove that I could be there. Did you sort of have that feeling that you were burying the cringing because you wanted to prove your worthiness on the air? It's almost like a sign of bravery or resilience.
I guess so. I was tested a lot. And I think back to that time, there are a lot of things that I remember thinking like that I couldn't do back then that now it would be a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a lot of times, like in life, you know, having those obstacles and failing is actually, I mean, it's cliche almost, but, you know, failure teaches you so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, crossing, there are many thresholds to cross, right? Like, you know, to go from a super fan and then, you know, crossing over there, like to sort of recap my entrance, I don't know if you guys remember, there was I think it was like a Rehoboth Beach or some kind of beach event.
Right.
Okay. Well, we went down to the beach and we went
probably
live.
Probably a bus.
It was like a live show. Well, it was like a live show there.
Okay.
And then you guys had people come and try to do a stunt to try to like basically be the new Rob A. And I never actually asked about this, but it felt a little bit like you guys weren't actually serious about finding somebody. But then once, you know, I showed up and I remember Rob like backstage saying, like, I'm rooting for you. Like, you're the only one who has any promise, you know, to actually fill.
I get
fill
that.
This,
I can see Rob telling you that. Right.
But here's the thing, right? This was my entrance into it. I showed up wearing like a rice paddy hat. I did this to myself.
Right. Yes.
And I came and I took my shirt off. And I chugged a thing of like old El Paso jar of salsa, and I was shaving my armpits while singing the national anthem. That was my stunt. And I remember
it's still funny. It's still funny. Oh God!
I remember Rob's face, kind of like yes, like this guy gets it. Like you know, other people were like eating their own toenails and stuff like that. And it's like, you don't get it. You don't get what we're trying to do here.
Oh my God! I laugh at it, but I wouldn't do. God, I'd hate to have to do that tomorrow. That was, you know. I mean,
we've gone to Mike.
Up.
Now we're just mixing marshmallow and Coke. We've
this
gone.
Is true.
We are much so much kinder, gentler show
that we want to do. I want to talk about you know, your world now. And in no particular order, we'll go. I think we want to go with the coffee thing first, because I get the impression that the coffee world, you You were a 2006 barista champion, and you founded a coffee company, Wrecking Ball Coffee Roasters, in San Francisco and Berkeley. Is that a chunk of your life where you were in the coffee biz?
A big chunk, like 20 years.
How did that come about? I'm curious about that.
This is really interesting, and it all kind of relates back to like culture and different things like that. So my dad was a medical doctor, and he wanted me to go to medical school and be a doctor. It's like, it's again, very sort of an Asian cliche kind of thing.
Right.
I didn't have that kind of like work ethic, or that just wasn't for me. And there came a point I'd gotten married in 99, my first marriage. You know, I have a couple divorces now under my belt.
Attaboy. What is wrong with me to say that like that? Attaboy.
It's all good.
Of right now on this program, I'm the only guy that's been able to make it last. And look how happy I am.
Yeah.
Every time people split up, I always say congratulations and I'm sorry.
Like, yeah, that's a new beginning.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. All right. Continue.
But I didn't know what I was going to do. Like, I kind of hit sort of like a roadblock in my kind of career. It's the thing that you do when you drop out of college is you get sales jobs. I like sold cars for like 2 months. And then.
So you dropped out. You dropped out. Where were you going to school? Where were you going to school when you dropped out?
I was going to George Washington University.
GWU. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
And so I decided, you know, I kind of looked out there and there's sort of the long version of it, but the short version is like, I thought, you know, I really like the social element of coffee shops. Like, I like the idea of people are showing up and kind of like, it's part of their day. It's a different kind of like, I was in a business to business kind of world before that for a little bit. And I didn't like that. Like, I wanted to deal with regular people.
Okay.
And so
as makes sense with your personality.
So this is like 2001, 2002. This is like right when September 11th happened.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Was like, as I was planning, and I opened a little walk-up window in Georgetown in DC. And during my research, I was like, you know, I think that coffee can be better than like what we find at Starbucks. You know, I didn't have any real reason to think that.
Were you a coffee guy?
No. I was a grande mocha, no whipped cream. I remember getting a lot of Starbucks stuff for you guys.
Okay, so you didn't. It was
is
not
this
like
when
you
the
were...
Starbucks was in the bookshop?
Yes.
Yeah, we had to send them to Borders to get coffee. Yeah.
And you were not an aficionado. You just thought that the business model. You know, and the quality of the coffee, which, by the way, I agree with, could be better, right? Is that it?
It wasn't even that. It was that I just like the idea of, like, people coming in with a smile on their face or putting a smile on their face. Like, that kind of just, like, interaction kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sort of progression went, if I'm going to make coffee for these people, like, I want it to be really good. And then I kind of went, and, you know, this was a certain era on the internet where, like, a lot of the discussion groups were forming in, like, online communities, PHPBB groups and things like that, before actual social media.
Right.
And I found a community of other like-minded coffee people. And, you know, fast forward a few years, like, we were a pioneering group that kind of started this thing that we call third wave coffee, like this whole sort of new generation of coffee sort of like approach and philosophy and values and things like that, where it's like, you know, you're going past like the first wave of your sort of Folgers Maxwell House,
right?
You know, where you're just coffee's not supposed to taste good, you make it taste less bad with some cream and sugar. You know, second wave being more Starbucks, where it's like, you know, I want it to be yummy, I want it to be a mocha, I want it to be a, you know, frappuccino kind of thing. Third wave being a little bit more like some of that wine sensibility of like, I care about where it comes from, I'm interested in some of the nuances and things like that. And so, you know, we, and myself and a bunch of my friends and colleagues, we historically now we're sort of like some of the founding group of that whole new wave. So
being new to coffee and late in life, I'm riveted by this because I find myself now being a every single morning 2 cup of black coffee drinker and making the coffee and going through that. I find this absolutely fascinating. So this took hold, obviously. This is something where this interest sprouted, and then where did the founding of the coffee company come from?
Well, that's how I started. I started a little walk-up little cafe in D.C. It was called Murky Coffee. and I opened a second shop, actually kind of moved the shop to the Capitol Hill Eastern Market neighborhood, opened a second place in Clarendon and Arlington. And, you know,
How fast did it take off? Because, I mean, that sounds like a pretty upward curve right away to end up in, you know, the Capitol Hill area. Was it a quick embrace by the neighborhood, or how did it do?
Not really, but it was steady. It was okay. Steady but slow.
All right.
But you know, even there, I was getting a little bit of notoriety, you know, for different reasons, in the industry and then sort of in the neighborhoods as well. There was I have to tell you guys this story because it involves, especially I think, more Rob than anything.
Oh, dear.
I was traveling and I got a call from my shop. And one of the baristas said, we just have to let you know there was an altercation at the cafe while you were gone.
Oh, no.
And I said, what happened? And he said, this guy, like, he was kind of being a jerk and something happened. And then he wrote on his tip, like, F you and your precious coffee policy. And then,
wow.
And then he put it in the tip jar.
Wow.
And then they found it. And then the next day, we found that he'd written a whole blog post about it with that writing on scrawled on that
yeah.
tip dollar, like as this sort of masthead of this thing. So when I saw this, I couldn't kind of let it go. So I wrote like a public response to him. And at the very end of it, I said, you know, because he started his little blog thing by saying, the only way I would go back to Murky Coffee in Arlington, Virginia is with a can of kerosene and a match.
Wow. Wow.
So at the end of my public response, I remember very vividly. I'm on the computer keyboard, and I wrote like, if I ever see you, because you basically threatened arson, if I ever see you anywhere near my cafe, I'm going to. And I didn't know what to write, and I wanted it to be punchy, and what it ended up being was, I'm going to punch you in your dick. And that comes from you guys.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think, you know, Rob talked about getting in the crouch position. And I remember at that moment, I was so thankful for that reference. And I was like,
at the middle of that story, I was really afraid how it related to me. I didn't know if you had a surveillance camera or anything like that.
Can you hang on? Can you give us one more segment? Can you do that for us, Nick? Because I want to talk about the whole. We haven't gotten to the whole Korean dad thing,
sure,
and
sure.
And this is let's take a break right now, Rob.
All right.
And when we come back, I want to tap into that. Finish the coffee. Move into Korean dad. Now I remember why.
Mike, and did you know that today is National Intern Day? So,
it is?
Yes.
Oh, that's so special.
Let's have
that.
Him back again on July 25th of 2025.
We'll be right back, everybody. Sports fans, the Olympics are right around the corner. The parade is tomorrow.
Yes,
and
the
if
parade.
There's one thing I know about parades is that hydration is key. For both the athletes and the fans, Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, clinically tested nutrients, three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. Check out six delicious sugar-free flavors, raspberry melon, rainbow sherbet, which I am drinking right now, white peach, green grape, raspberry. It's I said those already. Thank you. And the return of fan favorite hydration multiplier cotton candy.
Yum.
It's all out there, ladies and gentlemen. Or grab a variety pack. Fun. I love them all. I love them dearly. Tear, pour, live more. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. Com.
Mike, before we proceed, it's never unsurprising when someone pops up in the chat room that you don't think is going to be there. Madonna Frentz is listening right now.
Hi, Madonna. Hi, Madonna. How are you, sweetie?
She first time I think in the chat room, her comment, three words: love Korean dad.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
I love Madonna. She's the
best. So I don't want to cut off the coffee thing, but you go. What got you before we get into the whole Korean dad thing? What got you out to California? I'm curious, because you were kind of a DC-based guy.
It was divorce, and my I had two kids from my first marriage, and their mom wanted to move them out to Seattle, and I tried to do the co-parenting thing from the East Coast via airplanes, and it was just too rough. But then I didn't want to move to Seattle, so I moved to San Francisco. I lived in there for a number of years, then moved to LA a couple of years ago. And right now I just moved like a month ago to outside of San Diego.
Oh, so you've stayed out in Cali for a good long time. And you stay when you move out there, you stayed in the coffee business, obviously, founded this company. And are you still active in the coffee world, or are you just a creature of the internet?
I am getting ready to launch a little coffee project,
okay,
like a kind of a Korean dad coffee kind of thing. I'll send you some.
Can you come back when? Because I really would love to talk.
Yeah,
I'd like to get you on for a whole coffee segment. I really think
that you're selling, or what is
Korean dad coffee? That's different.
Oh, okay. I just hear what I like to hear. I guess
from the mountains of Korea, where Juan Valdez exists up there.
So, Juan Valdez Kim.
Yeah. So right. This is, I mean, the followers you have, your Korean dad. I know nothing about it. I have not done any research on it. Tell me all about that world and how that's going, any direction you want to go, because I forgot how good you are at what you do. You're fun to talk
to. So through all the coffee stuff, and I should mention something else, which is I had a podcast that was for like coffee people, like coffee professionals.
Okay.
Started it in 2005. Like, this is the old days, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you talk really fast on it? Because it was coffee people?
No.
Okay. But, just checking.
But, you know, I found a co-host, and I, you know, this is again, like, I've never been able to kind of bring this full circle this way. I totally modeled it after the Don and Mike show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a little bit more the Don sort of, you know, figure at the time,
right?
And I had a co-host, and you know, the banter was great, and we would talk about this and that, and we were also at the time sort of like kind of a really interesting sort of focal point for a lot of the development and the coffee stuff. Like, you know, you can learn a lot of this stuff without meeting, you know, luminaries in the industry, and I was meeting all these people, so I took those conversations and put them public. But at its core, it was supposed to be fun, and I even like kind of butchered the all the ships at sea sort of intro, and I kind of adapted it to my own.
That's great.
Just as a kind of a callback and like, you know, kind of thing. But all this time, like, I'm emceeing events. I, you know, like world championships. I'm traveling the world.
Coffee stuff.
All coffee. Yeah, coffee.
All coffee based. Okay.
Coffee.
No wrestling.
Coffee competitions, no wrestling. Very similar, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And making little videos and things like that. And of course, when you have kids, like, either you're making home movies, or you're making little edited, little fun little ones too. And so fast forward to 2019, my teenage daughters come to me and say, "Dad, you know, you should really be making videos for TikTok." And I said, "What is TikTok?"
Yep.
And so I checked it out, and I said, okay, I get it. Like, I get the culture. I kind of understand. And I said, well, what kind of video should I make? And they said, well, you make coffee videos already. Just adapt them to the format. Like, people would love to see that kind of thing. And I did that at the very beginning. They're still all the way back in my feed, if you look. And I was like, this is my day job. Like, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do something a little bit different. And so, you know, like a lot of people that I've met who kind of blew up on social media in this way, there was no intention of getting big or famous or like whatever. It was just,
that's interesting to, that you say that. It just kind of catches fire for reasons that are unexplained at the beginning.
Well, right? Especially at that time, like TikTok wasn't part of the cultural sort of like zeitgeist, right? It was just like this. It was like that and Dub Smash, and like it was just one of those random things that, you know, were kind of goofy, flash in the pan things for a little bit. But I thought, well, like, okay, if I want to make something that is earnest and of myself and not like coffee. Well, I am Korean. Korean culture is very popular, like K-pop and the shows and stuff. And I am a dad. And at the time it was like my sort of persona didn't really exude a lot of kind of fatherliness.
Yeah.
You know, and I was more like a hotshot, like kind of coffee entrepreneur guy. And I thought about it, and I, looking at this at the platform, I realized, you know, this is a lot of young people curled up in bed, like scrolling on their phone. And, you know, it sounds kind of funny, but I thought, I gave myself the sort of prompt, like, what could I do that wouldn't be creepy in bed with young people scrolling on the phone? You know, and when I say creepy, I don't just mean creepy in the traditional sense. I also mean, like, I don't want to exploit that space. I don't want to, like, whatever. Like, I want to honor the sanctity and the intimacy of that space in a way that I would feel good about.
So you give it a lot of thought as you're beginning to you know, pursue this.
This is a magical thing that happens very rarely where hardware meets software. He's using, seriously, you're using the software of TikTok.
Sounds a little dirty to me, Rob, the way you
said
that.
No.
He's talking about intimacy, and you're talking about hardware.
No, he's optimizing the space and using the content. I think it's brilliant. I think, you know what? When I watch it, it's very, the word that came to mind, it's very sweet. It's non-threatening, and it's very sweet and comforting. I think what you do is a great job.
So with the name Korean Dad, before we let you continue, and I want to hear it all, I really do. the name with Korean Dad, married once, twice? How many marriages are we talking about here?
Twice.
Are you on your second marriage, or are you in between wives right now?
I have a girlfriend now. We'll probably get married in a year or two.
Okay.
That'll be number three.
Number three worked really, really well for me. So that's all I can
say. And age-wise, he's ahead of you, Mike.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm 50 years old.
That's cool. And how many kids total do you have?
Two.
You have two. Okay. That's good.
Their ages? All right.
19 and 21.
Okay, God. You're fine. It's great. I see another child in your future, Korean Dad. I really do.
No, I got the snip.
Yeah. Oh, you did. Got the snip. Okay. Well, sometimes that doesn't take. So you
an ounce of prevention, Mike.
You're crafting your persona, and something's going to catch fire here. So explain that to me.
Well, I was just posting these little sort of vignettes. It's sort of like the, you know, there's this whole concept of like POV videos, like point of view. And from the point of view of my kid, and it was literally, you know, we'd be out somewhere and I would hand my phone to one of my daughters and say like, you know, I got an idea for something, like, you know, shoot this. And then we would play out a little scene that was pretty much exactly what we were doing. Like, there was one that caught fire that was like a skateboarding video. And we were literally just skateboarding in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. The one that really kind of caught my eye and was unexpected was, I made one that was like, let's go to Walgreens and get some snacks. And so, you know, we go in there and I'm like, oh, you know, holding up the thing, the options. Like, do you want the potato chips or the Doritos? Oh, you want the Doritos? Okay, cool. You know, kind of thing. And so, you know, and again, like, you know, for Rob, it's like, I'm thinking these things through. I'm like, even if they didn't choose the Doritos, then they're going to complain in the chat that oh, but I chose the potato chips. You know, that's all engagement. Like, this is all the way that the sausage is.
So you're thinking it through as you're doing it. It's not exactly like you're just doing this randomly, but you get the idea and you said, this could resonate. That's in your head when you're doing this.
Yes, absolutely. But what I didn't expect, I went home that day, I posted the video, and I started looking at the comments, and they were like, is this what a nice dad is like? Like, I've never experienced this kind of thing. Like, is this real? Like, is this actually what it's like to have a dad who cares what you have to say and cares about getting you things that you want? You know, stuff like that.
Okay.
You know, comments like, you know, I never knew my dad. my dad was abusive. My dad was really sweet like this, but he just died like 2 years ago, like stuff like this. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like I had stumbled upon something that I had, that part I had not planned for, was that when you really think about this, right? And I think that this is something that, that hopefully, and actually I want this to be part of sort of my career moving forward, is really shining a light on not just fatherhood, but like the men and masculinity conversation. You know, like, what does it mean to be a man in 2024, 2025? You know, we have a lot of counter examples. We have a lot of, like, if you ask like people, like, what does it mean to be a good man? There's a long list of things to not do.
Right.
Right. Don't do this. Don't do that. But what about the positive things? None of those don't do lists. Those aren't inspiring. Those are all like, okay, I get it. It's like medicine. It's like, I understand. Those all make sense. Like, don't harass. Don't, you know, cheat. Like, all these sorts of things. But what about the thing that gets people excited? And so, you know, I realized that I'd stumbled upon this big sort of like, some might call it a market opportunity, like in a social sense. Others might say like it's more of a need that's not really being met, is that when it comes to men and fatherhood and things like that, there's a dearth of conversation about it. Like, people don't know really how to talk about it. And a lot of it's because men, we're not necessarily equipped to talk about these things.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I mean, I'm riveted and I get it. I certainly get the idea, and the idea of what a real man is and interacting with your kid. You know, because of divorce, I had a situation where you're not part of the day-to-day life of your kids. And so when you get that time, it's really special. And then in my case, having to, you know, as an older guy, do it all over again, and having it be, you know, somebody walked up, a friend of mine said, this is the best thing you'll ever do. And then it's the truest thing that was ever said to me. And now, you know, the joy of my existence is my 11-year-old son. And it's a relationship where it's what makes the world go around. I just, that to me is, I can see why people, you know, why it speaks to so many people. And that is why, so Rob, you mentioned the sweetness that he has on it.
Yeah.
Do you think that, so the connection is just you being a dad the best way you can, and kind of people.
I wish it was around, I honestly wish it was around earlier, because I my kids are about the same, a little older than yours, but there was nothing like that when they were little, and you're fighting your way through. You don't know. I mean, there's been a billion kids before you that have preceded you, but it's still your first time, and it's wonderful guidance. It really is.
Now that the kids are older, what is it? Has it transitioned? What's going on with it now?
With my kids?
Yeah, I mean, with your whole persona and what you do online. Do you offer advice? Do you just wax nostalgic about their lives? What goes on with
that? Do they think you're cool? Do they think you're cool for doing it?
My kids think I'm cool.
Good.
They do. But I mean, it's weird to have like a dad who's famous on TikTok, right? Like, it's, you know,
it's good to have that pleat in your cape.
There's a certain kind of credibility for sure. Like, especially like when especially my younger daughter is a little bit more plugged into that kind of social media world, where she'll realize that one of her, like, people that she follows and looks up to follows me or has commented on one of my videos, and then she freaks out like by proxy. It's
really
cute.
All you social media influencers, you all hang out, right? The girl you're dating is the Hawktua girl.
When you bump into a follower out in the Bay Area, when you're out there or when you're in San Diego, what is the interaction like? I know with radio, we always considered it an intimate relationship that we have with people that follow what we do. More so, less so, what's the interaction like when somebody, oh, you're that guy or something like that?
I love that you framed it that way, Mike, because I was thinking about this earlier before coming on, that there's an interesting sort of analogy or parallel between the sort of like the 20, 30 years ago morning zoo, afternoon shock jock sort of like, you know, DJ culture and that kind of world, and the social media thing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember a lot, like at the time, right? You're doing the show, and you have an eye on Hollywood, and you're being told by Hollywood, we got you. Like, there's gonna be these opportunities. You're gonna be on a show, like whatever. We'll put you in a guest thing first. It's exactly the same, right?
Okay.
There's part of you that's like, yeah, I guess I could do that.
Sure.
And then in hindsight, you realize, like, what was that all about?
Yeah.
You know, what was that all about? Like, for you, like, what was that all about? You know,
essentially executives seeing what would stick to the wall and seeing if they could, if they could get lightning in a bottle. And the percentage of that happening would be similar to, with a slightly greater percentage than you would have if you were just off the street. Yeah. And that's really what
it was. At the expense of your own labor. It's a cheap option.
Well, and you also can look at those early contracts and see what those are like. The only way to make money in television or anything like that is when you become a smash hit.
Yeah,
then you dictate your own terms. But this is so very, very cool. How often do you produce content? Is there a schedule? Do you do it regularly? Is it the coffee biz or is it the influencer biz? What are you doing now? What is your daily activity?
Daily activity is a full-time content creator.
Okay.
I do kind of live a little bit more of an artist type of life where I really kind of let inspiration kind of show up and let that dictate the pace at which I'm creating content. But like, for instance, this week, like I have a bunch of work to do for different brand deal stuff and that's my income.
Right.
You know, it's been rough the past year and a half, actually. And with all the Hollywood business sort of conversation, not that it needs to, you know, rise above that. But, you know, what's gotten lost in that conversation is sort of the impact on the influencer marketing sort of segment. Like those dollars have dried up for most people.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me.
You know. It's like when the strikes were happening, it's like you could get me to make a video about your product,
right?
Or you could get this kid who's just been on a hit HBO show who's not working right now because of the Hollywood strikes.
Right.
Like, you know, there's that element and then, you know, other sort of things as well. And also just the maturing of the industry, you know. And again, like the 90s sort of DJ sort of time, you know, then you're starting to feel like, okay, there's a lot of people. Like every market has, you know, different folks doing their own kind of shows. Then all of a sudden you feel like what do you have to offer that's different? I know that for me, what's been really weird is seeing, I've had a lot of copycats.
That you have copycats that are out there.
Well, I shouldn't say copycats. I've had a lot of people who have used my content as inspiration to create their own. I'm your blankety blank. There was a guy who was doing like, I'm your folk punk dad, which I don't know what folk punk is, but it's like some kind of subculture. There's a guy who says, I'm your proud dad. He's this young guy, young black man who makes, you know, his sort of version of that kind of content, which is really sweet. There was a guy who kind of created a parody of my stuff and he puts himself out there as, I'm your scumbag dad.
The opposite of being sweet to his kids.
Last two guys I just mentioned, they have more followers than I do now. Like,
you know, I have to expand my horizons. I really do. I mean, I'm still back, you know, every day if you watched what I look at every single day, I'd be very embarrassed because it's like, how many Karens and jets taking off can you look at online? It's really pathetic. It's really, I'm thinking about it right now. And Rob, you do a lot more content searching than I do. I know.
Yeah.
That
but still they pigeonhole you. They do. Yeah, they really do. Now a question though.
Do you know what I'm going to throw one out right now.
Go ahead. This is going to make him look great.
Nick's got a great sense of humor. I am now on volume like 3 of best movie headshots. How sick is that? And this is movies that
show
somebody.
These are not porno movies, are they?
No, this is movies of somebody getting shot in the head.
Well, that's sick.
It's not like a twist. Headshot, like a headshot.
No. It could have gone in any direction. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Nick. I gotta know
that. Everybody, that stopped the room, didn't it? Yeah.
When you see someone who is obviously using your content for satire, they're making fun of you or they're doing a derivative of what you do and enjoying great success, Is there any of you that feels flattered because you're making that content happen, or are you bitter that they're getting more followers than you? Where's the demarcation there?
Oh, I can't. I'm definitely flattered, and I can't be bitter.
Okay,
and I'm not just saying that, right? Like, I mean, I think I'll be honest. When it first happened, it was weird because it did feel a little bit like
intrusive.
You know,
I think
yeah, a little bit, and also like I knew where I was coming from with it, you know, and the sort of integrity that I wanted to kind of inject in it, and to see somebody else kind of entering that space, then it naturally made me question what their intentions are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are they here for? Are they actually here to provide something, or are they here for their own sort of need for attention?
Sure.
Or whatever?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to be doing a deep dive on you, and I can say unequivocally that you have an open invitation.
Anytime.
If I had deeper pockets, I'd offer you a job right now, for God's sake, but it sounds like you're doing fine. I remember now, it just stormed back to me within 2 minutes of talking to you that you were one of the brightest interns that we ever had. You had the comedy sensibilities, as you have mentioned yourself, that were spot on, and it's so refreshing to talk to you, and I just all I want to do is do it again. I really do. Yes, Rob.
Do you still dislike Margaret Cho?
No. No.
Oh, okay. So you were able to bury that?
And it was true at the time.
It was
one of those things. It was like, you know, it was a litmus test at the time for any Asian American.
Sure.
Because when she showed up, it was like, does this feel like a positive representation or not?
Right.
And now we get to look back. We have the benefit of hindsight.
Sure.
Yeah, it was.
Well, you obviously meant it at the time because it stuck with me for nearly 30 years. That you had that sort of penchant.
It's amazing what you hang on to, Rob.
Well,
the hatred, you mean?
It's truly.
We do follow each other on Instagram.
We will, with your permission, we will have you back sooner than later. I'd love to chat with you again about anything you want to talk about, because you're a fascinating guy.
I want to talk about you on social media, Mike. Like I saw your little "I crashed my car" video.
I'd like to, you know what? I'd love to have you as a consultant,
to
help me, because you know what? I'm trying to feed my effing family here, and you know, it ain't radio money, Nick. That's for sure. I'd be betting you 50 cents. Yes, Josh. Yes.
I was just going to say, we can go ahead and launch that Your Old Dad right now.
Your Old Dad, you know, the elderly father.
Your dad with a limited future.
The elderly father, you know, mm-hmm. And because I mean, I swear to God, if I rolled a camera with my son and I in the car, it would be something else, you know, because he's got the comedy sensibilities as well. It would be special. But you're a great guy. I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you're taking the plunge, because I know number three is a tremendous challenge. Because a lot of people say, oh, you don't want to do that again. You don't want to do that. It's do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. That's what I'm telling you right now.
It all
there.
Depends on whether you've done the work on yourself, right?
Yes, yes. Yep. And I'm, or in my case, I did it anyway without doing the work.
You see, now he gives me an idea, Mike. I'm going to go try and register the handle, Your Dad in Recovery.
Yes,
and
okay.
So,
yeah, Nick, I hope you kick that case of COVID. And I really...
bless your heart.
But please, will you please come back on the show sometime
soon? I will. I just want to say, you know, when I think about you guys and that time, and Mike, again, like, you know, the questions you were asking at the beginning and like, almost a little bit of fear there, like, you know, was it a good experience? Was it a bad experience?
Always do.
Absolutely. I mean, my main primary sort of memory from you guys is how warm and how welcoming and how kind you always were. Like,
oh, that's cool.
Always.
And wow. That makes me feel good.
That's what drew me to show up here today. And so
I hope it's a new chapter, Nick.
Yeah.
I really do, because I remembered that it was a genuine affection I had for you, because I love your style. And it's no, you know, surprise having this. I mean, it's a long time ago. It's almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
To just piece it all together, it kind of came flooding back to me, you know, why – there was a connection there, and I'd like to keep
I'll
that
tell you though, Mike, I was looking for some of that affection back then when you were taking my money. I was like, surely he's not actually going to take. Surely he's not actually going to take my $100.
No, that was he was teaching money. You a lesson, he and it stuck with you.
It did. Yeah, Nick, I should be. You should be very aware. Even 30 years ago, I was still a degenerate gambler. So that's the way that happens. Thank you so much. We will keep in touch. I will be doing a marathon of your stuff today, and that is your Korean dad, Nick Cho, and marvelous time on the show. We look forward to having you again, and thank you so much, and do not be a stranger, Nick, okay?
I'll see you next time.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you, Nick.
We'll take a break, and we'll come back with a round table right after this, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, I got him here.
You got it?
Here today. I'm prepared. They're not on the floor yet. We have this hat. We have this one.
Mike, they appear to be different colors.
Yes, that one. That's white.
I have a color monitor here in my studio. That's red.
Red and reason, these aren't selling as well as the other ones. So,
they're collector's items.
And then this one.
Mauve.
I love that. Yeah. We got them. Popular demand. We now have an extremely limited run of the brand new TMOS Summer Caps. It's summertime, you know. The ultimate accessory for fans who want to show their support while staying cool. It's available in red, white, light blue, or black, ensuring there's a perfect match for everyone. Plus, tickets and merch for the grand reunion Las Vegas weekend. And new t-shirts that you haven't even seen yet. They're in the pipeline. Looking good. Don't miss the ultra cool TMOS commemorative coin. We got that here. See, I've got everything here. We got stickers.
It works in any slot machine in Las Vegas.
Don't get happy.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So hurry up. Support the show you love. Every purchase keeps the laughs coming. TMOSstore.com, the source for all things TMOS. Official, authentic, awesome. Thank you for your support. And remember that wonderful motto that we have, Rob Spiewak.
Ash, cats, or grass, everybody pays.
Bingo. That's how it works. Start the thing. Thank you. There it is. There it is.
How great does that interview make you feel?
Makes me feel fantastic. I remember how goddamn funny he was.
He was
spectacularly funny.
Just a good guy.
And it makes me feel great. The whole sweetness thing. I would like, I would love to get him back on the show as soon as possible.
You're going to dig his content in a big way.
Good stuff.
He is doing a trip to Korea with his followers.
Really?
Like, wow. You can go along with him to Korea.
Okay. I'll fly over to Korea with him.
I'm going just trip. He's doing a podcast from a pool.
Only
Korea.
If it's north. Let's start today.
Mike, you're so divisive.
Now, Rob, I know you are a pop culture maven. Remember when they did a Facts of Life episode on the live before a studio audience?
100%. They did several Norman Lear shows like that.
It starred great. Jennifer Aniston, Gabrielle Union, Kevin Hart, Jon Stewart, Catherine Hahn, and more. It also proved how popular that show, The Facts of Life, was and still is. The late Norman Lear got such great feedback, he actually contacted the original cast about possibly bringing back the show. But there was trouble. Mindy Cohn, remember Natalie?
Hot, yes.
She said there were Zoom meetings and a writer was even hired. But then a quote-unquote greedy bitch in the cast ruined everything. Mindy says this person went behind everyone's backs and tried to make a separate deal for a spinoff just for herself. Mindy says the other girls were devastated and the reunion is dead in the water. And so is a 40-year sisterhood between the girls. Here's the quote. A couple of people can't move past it. Don't want to move past it. We are not as united. Let me put it this way. We were united for 40 years. And this kind of wrecked that, which is sad, really sad. No, Mindy did not mention the guilty party, but she did suggest you can figure it out if you check her Instagram to see who she hangs out with and who she doesn't.
Let's see. Charlotte Ray is dead.
She's dead.
The cousin Jerry would not be considered one of the four leads.
Right.
She's
had her she sent out birthday greetings to Nancy
McKeon.
So it points to one person.
Yeah, it'd have to be Blair, huh?
Looks like it's probably Blair.
And you know what? I think Blair was the only one who appeared in that reunion, and she looks fantastic. She sang the theme.
Are you being silly? Are you?
No,
being...
when she came out, she sang the theme in her Eastland uniform that she wore on the show, and it looked like Blair from 40 years ago. Really? She looks really good. However, there is this about Blair that you should know.
Yeah.
She is an outspoken aficionado for hot saucing her children as punishment.
Okay. Well,
so she might be a little screwy.
So they're Facts of Life fans. That's the hard-hitting news that we begin with.
Did you know Julia even went through a phase where she was binging the Facts of Life? I think it sort of holds up for kids of a certain age.
All right. Saturday Night Live has been a huge career break for Bowen Yang.
So funny.
And he says he'll be, quote, eternally grateful that he works there. But at the same time, he calls it, quote, the cringiest thing in show business on every level. That's an interesting quote when he explains it.
Okay.
So hear this out. I'd like your thoughts on it. He adds, quote, it's a cringe mountain because to live through working at SNL and to have people constantly tell you how much it sucks, how bad it is, how it's not as good as it used to be for your career, that has to do something to you psychologically where you emerge and go, I don't give an F. I get it. A lot of people slam it because
I think
they have the length of time it's been on. You know?
From the amount of interviews I've read and heard, I think that comes also from within the Saturday Night Live organization. It's not a healthy way they do the show. And Dana Carvey said he was on the show, I think, six seasons before he could figure out how to actually enjoy himself and not be a mess, psychological mess from doing it?
Look, that exists in so many different areas of show business, and sometimes you just have to extricate yourself from that, and it makes for a happier program.
Bowen Yang is probably the one guy right now they have that bats 1,000.
Yeah.
As a sketch player.
Yeah.
He does not misstep. And also, I think it's funny, I believe his Instagram handle is Faye Dunaway.
That's funny. That makes me laugh out loud. That's good. If you're over 20 and you had zits in high school, you just dealt with the insecurity.
Right.
I had a period in high school where I broke out a lot. Leave it to Gen Z to somehow make zits cool. Listen to this. Have you heard of pimple patches?
Yes. We go every fall to the pimple patch to pick pimples.
Stop it.
It's like apples, but it's cheaper.
Pimple patches, Rob Spiewak, are a huge fashion trend for young people now. The Washington Post did a big story on it this month, and the New York Post did another one this week. Mm-hmm. They are little stickers that go on your face.
Oh, so you take a sticker and you put it on your...
You cover your zits, and they're medicated. So as opposed to putting, like, the cream or stuff, you just take a pimple patch and put it on your zits. They're medicated, so they keep bacteria out, and they help them heal.
This is what it looks like.
Oh, there you go.
There they are.
It's just a little, like, cute sticker.
That's wonderful. I love
that. Much better than a Band-Aid.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? They're sort of calling attention to the sticker rather than trying to make it a flesh tone. And try to
like
hide
it, which
you never
could. Where Clearasil flesh tone was used, and everybody knew, you know, especially if you had them. I had them right here between my eyebrows, and I just like,
I had them all over my back.
Did you have bacne?
Occasionally, yeah.
I had bacne.
Because you know what?
I had bacne.
It stopped when I got my back waxed, or no, lasered. Lasered is what fixed it.
To the extent where I didn't want to go to the beach because I was so embarrassed by it. That's how bad that was.
Well, all the sand was sticking to you.
Yeah, well, but also when you had the Clearasil with the flesh colored stuff, you break a sweat for any reason or
it's gone
anymore.
Yeah.
It comes off.
Yeah,
they're not totally new. They've been around a long time. The new kind, intentionally bold, which is the ones Josh was showing us. Owning your acne is a big part of why it's trendy. So you can have 15 zits on your face now and show up at school looking fabulous.
That's right, and not like a pizza.
This is good. The biggest brand is, was the ad you were showing, was that Starface? Was that the Starface ad? Starface, get it? Starface.
Starface.
They say they've been selling around 500 patches a minute.
What?
Over the past 2 years. Investments. They've also become a form of currency at schools around the U.S. Kids are trading them for stuff like snacks at lunch.
I would hope they would not be like taking them off the zit to trade them.
You can put them in any pose you want.
Miko.
Starface is simply stars. They look like bulletin board stars or what you like put on a Like a good job stuff.
Yeah. Oh, like okay. a paper. Yeah.
But they're
sure.
in just different colors.
Filled you know, with when Julia made those little simplifications Oxy-fi. Of our pictures that she put on the playing cards, wouldn't those make good Zit stickers?
Thank you for sharing. Jason Aldean was recently interviewed by Evan Paul and was asked, if he could undo a trend or technology in the industry, what would it be? And without skipping a beat, he said social media. Across the board, get rid of it. That's okay. going to be a very unpopular answer. He backed it up by saying that few people use it right and too many people use it, quote, not how it was intended. It would be interesting to know what he thought was the right and wrong way to use social media. Some people in the comments are pointing out the hypocrisy, considering his wife, Brittany, practically lives on social media and uses it to promote her brand. That's the dilemma we have. You know, is he commenting? Somebody wrote, is he commenting about his wife's online behavior?
I don't know. I think that someone who uses it right is your Korean dad.
Yes, sirree. I can't wait to do a dive. Am I going to dig it? Am I going to dig it when I see
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Yep. It's funny, and it's almost a little surreal because I know Nick from 30 years ago. Yeah. So it's fun.
I felt the connection right away. Spectacular. Finally, today, there are a lot of ways to discover that you've won the lottery, but this is a new one. A man in Tennessee found out that he won $1 million in a jackpot when detectives called him to tell him his winning ticket had been stolen.
What? Oh, no.
The guy bought two scratch-off tickets from a Shell gas station to save time. He just scratched off the barcodes and asked the clerk to see if they came up as winners. The clerk told him one was a winner for $40, which was true, and the other was a loser, which was not true. So he trashed it. After the customer left the store, the clerk took out the trash and pocketed the ticket that he'd trashed.
How much was it worth?
$1 million.
$1 million.
The clerk went to the Tennessee Lottery Commission to claim the ticket as his own, but during some routine questioning, the officials got suspicious.
Can you imagine the Tennessee Lottery officials? I see them in overalls.
Howdy. Well, you
got, that's your ticket.
But apparently at the Lottery Commission, they deal with this kind of stuff. So they reviewed the security cameras and figured out what happened and gave it to the detectives who did their due diligence. And one detective said it's pretty obvious, good enough to put in front of 12 jurors, and they'll reach the same conclusion. That's good policing, in my
That is great
opinion,
policing.
Right?
And yeah, I didn't know you could take the lazy way out and just have them scan the ticket.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Carla, with our scratch-offs, always takes it, even if we have losers, she takes it to the lottery to scan, to the place, wherever they sell them. They can scan
them for
you. They must love
her.
No, everybody. No, stop it. Stop it, Mr. Lazy. Come on now.
No,
okay?
I'm lazy is scratching them yourself.
No, you take it in just to verify. Anybody that plays it knows that.
Have you ever realized money because of that?
Probably not, but we've won scratchers before, which is fun.
$1 billion.
So the detectives scoured the security footage and figured out who the rightful ticket owner was and notified them. The clerk is now facing a felony theft charge, and you know, that is a detective in my mind. That is somebody doing the work. In Florida, they only investigated from a convenience store if you steal a chocolate pie.
How big is it?
Mile wide. And by the way, put some highway patrol out on 75, please.
And what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see?
And what happened to the pictures? Somebody get Don on the phone.
I know Charlie here is 50.
I want a concerted effort that I don't have to talk about a dog dying. We'll take a break and come right back on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Thank you. I love Naked Wines.
Yes.
I really, really do. Did you know Americans pay about twice as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Well, they've got these antiquated laws that ensure the right that wholesalers have to make big margins. That's crazy. So listen up. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. You're going to love their wines, folks. You are. A subscription service, Naked Wines, that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. I know this because I've had it multiple times.
Yes.
Their wines are fantastic. You get a box of the market's best quality wines for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Plus, you can pause or cancel at any time. Go to nakedwines.com/TMOS and click enter voucher in the top right when you go to the website. Then enter TMOS for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. nakedwines.com/TMOS and use the code and password TMOS to grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. nakedwines.com/TMOS, code and password TMOS for $100 off your first 6 bottles. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Man, we've been going at a breakneck pace today. There's so much. I got to get this in.
Please do.
Just a kudos to my wife, Mrs. O'Mara, who did the schmooze day. Josh, how was the response? Did we get a really good response to her half hours
yes.
or 35 minutes or so of her content, you know?
Yeah, there were lots of comments, lots of people sending hugs her way.
Yeah.
So lots of great response.
It looked amazing because she used your actual set. She wasn't like walking around with a phone. It looked great.
It's still on the Mike O'Mara show page, right? Is it still on there?
It is still there. Yeah.
It's still there if you want to check it out. Carla had what we don't talk about it a lot, but she had a very, very difficult childhood, extremely so, with abuse. And very, very bad things that happened. And I didn't even know what she was going to do. I came and got the camera set up, and she was on her way. And then I had to go pick up my son at football practice, and I was almost late because I got so riveted by what she was doing. And it was fascinating to me that she laid herself bare like that to encourage people to get the help they need if they've been through something. The trauma has affected her throughout her whole life. And, you know, there was a time when we were really getting to know each other that I was so angry at her dad that I wanted to like drive up to Pennsylvania,
punch him in the dick.
I did. I absolutely. It was horrible. And so she gets kudos from me. But I will tell you this, you know, and I have to be honest when I tell you, she gets done doing this soul bearing 25-35 minutes online, just telling all about her life and where she's been and the struggles that she's had and how difficult it is. And at the very end, you know, after I said, great job, I'm very, very bright. Are you reading ahead to see what's
I'm
coming?
Mike, as you
said
to
you, me. Let me ask you, I'll ask you to guess. What do you think I said to her?
It would have something to do with your story was wonderful, but you didn't mention me.
He knows me well, Josh.
In the fact that I helped you, that we together helped you. And as you say about me, Mike, sometimes I know you better than you know yourself.
You did. I knew you knew it. As soon as you chuckled, I knew you knew it. I'm not proud of this. I did it. I moved off of it very quickly.
Did you at any point want to put the words, did you want to put the words back in your mouth?
No, but I knew that I'd done something wrong. It's not about, Carlo called me on that crap right away. She said, not about you. This is about me. And I was just like, yeah, you know, you could have really.
Well, what you should have said is, okay, but what's the name of the show again? Baby.
It was funny. I'm not proud. I am not proud of that at all.
But you know what, Mike? Let's bury that.
But I'm so proud of
the video is still up. And if you didn't see it, you really should watch it because it's not only brave, but it's going to be helpful to a lot of people. Carla and I have talked offline about certain things.
Yeah.
And she's wonderful to talk to about it because she gets it.
Yeah.
And it's worth a half hour of your time, folks. Check it out.
And a lot of people
doesn't mention me though.
You know how I feel, Rob, right? That I'm I deal
fuzzy
with a lot of the crap. If it's show related and you're putting down the show, I take it a little personally.
Sure.
But if you're talking about my family, I kind of go badass.
Yeah, and I think we're the same way about
really
it.
Hate that. That's really something. So, you know, shocker. That's how you get under my skin. Shocker. Don't pay attention to that as much as I had a month ago even. But to have the people reach out to her and say things like, you know, I misjudged you. And I'm like, I think they thought of Carla as someone who's just out there hawking with Dermglow and all that, and you know, the pretty face that gets everything that comes to her easily, and you know, and she told you about her life, and I thought I thought it was interesting. I didn't know it was coming. We didn't prep anything except a camera shot to say, come on here and get it, you know, get it ready. So that was all, and I'm proud of you, Carla.
But to be fair, Mike, you did show
your
snake.
Josh, what did you say?
She was prepped. She put a lot more work into that than any of us.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's the way she rolls with it.
And there's lots of people that can relate to parts of her story.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So I'm proud of you. You were going to say, Rob, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, she's getting a lot of love, but she didn't show the snake. You showed the snake. And that's, there you go. That's ratings.
That's why I love you, buddy.
And Rob, you got to follow that.
Yeah.
Hey, that's great.
Maybe I'll show some. I don't understand what just happened, but the show stopped. What?
Yes. I will show some collector buttons or something. I don't know.
Sure.
It's going to be a great schmooze day. Maybe
get a non-dog pet. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the flip side right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. The time is now.
Now.
TMOS returning to Las Vegas for our grand reunion weekend. By the way, I don't know the author, but there is a video floating around for those of you that might be coming to Las Vegas that shows you how to deal with hookers and the dangers that exist out there. I urge you all to check it out if you're coming.
There's dangers?
Korean dad video.
That's the Korean dad video.
I don't know if there's any danger.
The weekend of November 9th, it's a Saturday. Come be a part of a live poolside taping of your favorite podcast, that's us, on the elegant rooftop citrus deck of the downtown Grand Hotel. Book your rooms now so you don't miss any of the fun. It's a full-scale hotel takeover. Take the whole weekend and be part of our exclusive slots and blackjack tournaments, the Ladies of TMOS Brunch, special discounted hotel rates, limited edition swag. Am I leaving anything out, Josh Soroka? Have I included everything in there?
No, you're good. Get your hotels going through the link and
Rob's hard candy. Rob's going to be handing out candy. Yeah. So get out there.
If there's any left, it's delicious.
Weekend. Make a weekend of it. Surprises, a whole lot more. Rob will be on the property with his hard candy. Find Josh and get an Earl Weaver action figure. It's about this big.
Yeah.
And what's cool about it is it's life size. See me, I'll give you a carton of smokes. And Carrie Spiewak always has a pot brownie in her purse. You can eat. Some restrictions apply. Grab your tickets and more info at MikeO'MaraShow.com. There's no better way to reunite with your TMOS family. Make new friends. If you love this show and you've never been to one of our events, it's really, you kind of join a kind of like a secret society. Complete with human sacrifices. No better way to do it than to come to Las Vegas in November. Join us as we take over the downtown Grand Hotel the weekend of November 9th. We cannot wait to see you, everybody.
Hello.
Moss Spiewak homemade pot brownies.
They're so good.
Really good.
So delish.
The flip side.
This is fake, but they did such a good job with it. It merits looking at. It's a parody of Disney TikTok people. Disney, I mean, I follow Busch Gardens on TikTok and Instagram. I follow, obviously, King's Dominion on both platforms. But the Disney people are crazy. You can really screw with them because they really take Disney seriously. And there are videos
they put
like
on TikTok for King's Dominion. What the hell do they put up there?
They've got a new coaster they're building right now. All different things. A lot of people complain about the food. I think the food is better this year than it has been. But they do. There's a lot of people
Are you talking about TikToks by the actual company?
No. I'm talking about people, society people that, okay. You know, there's an undercurrent of people that love King's Dominion even more than me. But they are eclipsed by the Disney people. So when this was posted, people were really, really concerned.
Several bands farting inside their theme parks. Anyone who is caught farting inside a Disney theme park may be kicked out and potentially banned for life. Disney will be using thermal cameras installed throughout their parks to track if and when a guest farts. If seen farting on one of these cameras, Disney World security will be sent out to find you and detain you. The first time caught doing this will result in a warning. However, if caught doing it again, you will likely be kicked out for the day. Then, a third offense will lead to a temporary ban, and a fourth offense may lead to a lifetime ban from Disney World. Yeah. The craziest part is this applies to both adults and kids. That's right, even toddlers and babies may be kicked out of Disney for farting. The good news is bathrooms are safe zones, meaning guests are allowed to fart inside the bathrooms at Disney World without facing any repercussions.
This guy's
Disney is doing this to make the guest experience better for others. Farting continues to be one of the biggest complaints by guests visiting Disney World.
It's too long. All right.
But anyway, that is not true. It's not true.
Yeah, it's so good that apparently there's a Snopes about it.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That they had to say it's not factual. Have you, Rob, look, as a theme park aficionado, I believe even in my limited time in theme parks, I've experienced that when you're in one of those lines. And you've got the nasty food people. It's disgusting.
And there's that. And then there's also BO, like crazy BO.
And it's why you don't go to water parks. Sorry, but you don't because they're filled with griblies. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's nasty. When you had your car accident, you had to deal with insurance, and I hope that it went well for you.
It went great. I'll give them a plug. State Farm was the best insurance experience I've ever had in my life. There it is.
Probably because you're...
They don't need me, but I'm telling you that. I'd love to get them as a sponsor. I'd do a hell of an endorsement for them.
I'd love to have them as a sponsor, too. Maybe they'd take me back. The thing about insurance...
There he goes, Josh, always thinking about the business.
Hey, I have feelings too, okay? When you had your insurance, it went well for you, I think, because...
There might be a difference between a person spinning out of control in front of you and you being totally unable to avoid a crash and falling asleep at the wheel and rolling your car.
There's no need to be defensive, okay? Everyone knows that you were not at fault. Everyone knows.
Including the insurance company.
That's right.
So they dumped you after your accident?
A little while after. They got a couple more payments. Then they said,
well, I'm still in that honeymoon period. I'll have to probably wait and see. I'll let you know if anything happens.
Well, Mike, I hope that you had an easier time explaining your accident to State Farm than these people did when they realized that their car was damaged by flying fish.
Just a fish. An unexpected delivery Sunday to Cynthia and Jeff Levine's driveway in Atlantic Highlands. What? At first, they didn't even know anything happened.
The car started honking, went crazy honking, which we never heard. And I didn't know how to turn it off. I kind of went out and he was in the yard somewhere. He heard the crash and everything. But
Mike, the car was honking and I didn't know how to turn it off.
What does that mean? What the horn went off? The alarm went off?
They determined
the car started honking. Duh. Jesus.
They determined because of their proximity to water, birds were dropping fish. That's what's going on.
Yeah,
so,
like the gulls do up in Maine, where they'll take something and drop it on a rock or something.
Yeah,
like that.
So be careful of that.
That news anchor didn't have time to leave her remote van to do the Zoom call.
I know, and also let the screen up with all the options. So,
yeah, couldn't crop it. Absolutely.
I don't know what happened. It was honking.
The car started honking. We've been to this restaurant city.
I want to wine. Boy, I tell you, local news down here in Florida, where I live, it ought to be called the whining hour.
And I ride my bike, and they drive so fast, and I don't want the bike path.
Let us close with this. What's
that? Did her husband talk at all during
the
interview?
No, he did not. Because he was in another part of the yard.
Yeah. He just goes, yeah, I got a big one. Got a big D. That's it. Yeah.
Duh. I don't think he says that.
I don't know. I just got ramped up.
Maybe
I went a little too far.
Like, that would be a good capper on that news story.
Yeah.
When asked for a comment, the husband said, hey, I'm huge.
I'm huge.
Let me stand up. I'll come out to your van.
Come on over and kneel on it.
So, Mike, we close with this. Not only is it National Intern Day, it's National Chili Dog Day. And so I'd like to leave you with
a product.
The best, right? I'd like to leave you with a song that people of the 80s will appreciate. Maybe the greatest chili dog song ever. Jack and Diane.
Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog.
Here's where it gets good.
Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog, sucking on a chili dog, chili dog.
So happy Chili Dog Day.
Sucking on a chili dog. Oh, man. By the way, Dairy Queen, in my opinion, best chili dogs you can get.
Homemade.
Well, if you're going out, I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't. You know what? No chili from a pump.
Can you let Josh speak? He was getting ready to speak.
I'm trying to cut you off before you close the show to remind you, cocktail hour Saturday night.
Oh, that's Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. We will be all in our various locations enjoying a TMOS cocktail hour, and we invite you to join us. That will be on the Facebook page for the show, the Mike O'Mara Show Facebook page. Am I right about that?
Yes, it will be, and the YouTube.
And the YouTube. So it's on YouTube and Facebook. We look forward to seeing you there. Our thanks to Nick Cho, your Korean dad and former intern. Wonderful talking to him. I cannot wait to get him to come on and just talk about coffee on the show. It'll be a lot of fun. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Adios, folk.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Sabrina, don't just stare at it. Eat it.
Ah, you lost again.
Oh, you left out a bunch of stuff.
And what time did Mr. O'Mara's review come in last night?
Oh, you should see what it looks like from out here.
That's the kind of comedy we specialize in. Clean, unfunny humor.
So what do you want me to do, drop my pants or fire a rocket?